Hey everyone, welcome to the Worship Artistry Podcast. My name is Jason Hausma, and with me is Christina Kislanka.
He beat me to it.
Because I said it right, though,
you
right?
You did.
I just wanted to show off that I could do that. I'm going to go back to letting you just say it, but I just wanted...
Just today, he wanted to show off.
Well, we've only been working together for about a year now.
That's true.
Podcasting, not as long.
It's about time.
Yeah. Well, how are you?
I'm great. How was your, I actually know how your weekend was. How was Top Gun?
Just because I saw Top Gun, you know how my weekend was.
Yes.
Okay, seriously? I love that movie so much. And when I saw the preview, I was very much like, oh my gosh, they're just rehashing Top Gun in like the worst way. It was like, oh, we're doing beach football instead of beach volleyball now.
Yep.
And oh, the guy playing at the piano is a young guy instead of an older guy.
But it was so good.
It was amazing.
And we couldn't stop talking about it for like the last 2 weeks. And Jason was the only one that hasn't watched it yet.
I was planning on watching. I wanted to take my boys.
Yeah. The soundtrack has been on repeat here. Well, in terms of like
me
in my head more than even my headphones. I feel like the songs just get stuck in my head.
I do like to rock the Top Gun riff on occasion. It doesn't sound quite as good on the acoustic guitar, but...
If you follow us on Instagram, you saw that sneak peek of...
Maybe I should do a lesson on the Top Gun anthem. Just like a quick one. Just a quickie.
Just if anyone wants to sneak it into just a little riff on Sunday morning.
Totally. It has that vibe. You can definitely...
You could do it.
You could sneak it in there.
Yeah.
And I think it'd be very inspirational. It was interesting, though, I will say... And this is not a movie review podcast, but I will say that, you know what, because everyone told me it was so good, I hung on to get there. Because initially I was a little like, okay, what's going to, like,
yeah.
I don't know how this is going to be. And it's like, so the first half is good, but they're just setting up the story. The second half is where you're just like, wow.
This is amazing.
Yeah. Yeah, and it was great. I felt like I could take my kids to it, and there was no explaining I had to do. There was no, like, cover your eyes. Like, it felt like that was, they were aware of that.
Family friendly.
Yeah, it was family friendly, which is really hard to find nowadays.
Speaking of family friendly.
Yes?
Jason, who did you interview this week?
What a transition.
Speaking of family.
Yeah. Okay, 10K fam. Okay, yeah. I see where you're going with this.
Yeah,
okay,
yeah.
Today's interview, we have Aaron Keyes of Mere Worship and 10K fam. Aaron has been on the podcast before.
Yes.
And he is really passionate about creating community and coaching and teaching for worship leaders. It's kind of outside, like Mere Worship is kind of he has like a community thing that's online, but he also has basically like a master's program for worship leaders with 10K fam that he does. And we just started getting into like, well, what's like, why is it important to have community? You know, what should I look for as a worship leader? We go deep into the difference between like emotional and devotional worship. And I thought his take on it is really clear. And I just think he's an inspirational guy to talk to. And he definitely, even if you don't think that you need community, that's kind of one of those things that a lot of times I think we just kind of like, oh no, it's okay, I got it.
Yeah.
And you start
realizing.
He almost
convinces you.
Right. You're like, wait a minute, maybe
if you had a question about it, I feel like he convinces you that like, no, you really need to be surrounded by people like you that can support you and help you and be with you and help you and all the good things that come from community.
Yeah. I think it's one of the hardest things for just culturally in our world. Mm-hmm. I know for me, it is hard to say help.
Yeah.
I am geared to say I got it. I am geared to just be like, you know, I can be carrying tons of gear and I'll have people being like, hey, can I give you a hand? It's like, oh no, it's good that I'm balanced
out.
I'm balanced out. It's going to just mess everything up. You know,
yeah.
It's like, actually, you know what? It's
Instead
really nice.
Instead of just saying, yep.
Yeah. It's
help
really
me,
nice.
Please.
Yes. Thank you. So without further ado, Aaron Keyes. Welcome, Aaron Keyes of Mere Worship. Welcome to the podcast. Glad to have you, man.
Thank you, man. Mere Worship and 10K fam. Don't forget.
10K fam. Obvious.
So many communities of worship leaders we're connected to here, buddy.
I know. Well, that's amazing. Why do you think that's important?
Oh, wow. Just starting with the big questions, huh?
I only ask big questions.
Okay. Here's why.
Next, I'm going to ask you about your greatest secret sin.
Oh, gosh. All right. I'll be ready for that one. It's important, man. There's so many reasons. Number one, a lot of worship pastors are working in silos. Like, they are isolated, they're alone, and they do not have community around them who understand how they're wired, how they think. They do not have people around them who can like help them, you know, get set free from stuff that might be paralyzing them. And they also probably don't have a track record of school that has been educating how they think and making sure that over time they're thinking more and more deeply about what we're doing instead of just kind of reacting to wherever culture's going. So, I mean, most, dude, I would venture to say 99% of pastors and people leading churches have had some training. So they've had seminary or at least like a Bible college degree. A lot of them have very, very postgraduate degrees. I would venture to say less than 5% of worship leaders have been trained. And we are just at that unique point. We talked about this last time on the podcast, I know. We're at that unique point in church history where for the first time ever, people who have had no training are given as much influence as the senior leader who has had a decade of training. So that's why it's important because, and I think historically you can see this, biblically you can see this, like when the senior leader and the worship musical kind of component, when those are working in harmony, it's very powerful, it's catalytic, it's dynamic. But when they are isolated from each other or just kind of working independently of each other, it's like a runner whose legs aren't working together, you know? There's like one leg's just hopping and the other leg takes a turn and hops. And but you could really be working in harmony together. And I think like the big worship movements that have really gone around the world and a lot of the songs that you guys teach, if you traced it back, you'd find from their incipients, you know, senior leadership, very connected to worship leadership. So obviously like Passion, I mean, those guys were writing songs out of Louis's journal. Like Jewie's, I mean, Louis is an amazing worship leader, right? I said Jewie. Louis. Hillsong, obviously, like you've got like Brian Houston and his son, you know, Joel. Bethel is Bill Johnson and his son, Brian. Like the you can't overlook the relational intimacy between those two offices and the dynamic like dominoes that fall. And then you can look at other movements with great Bible teaching. There's not a worship component. It hasn't gone around the world like those ministries I just named. And you can look at great like songwriters and CCM artists, but they're not connected to a leader like that. And so it's a fraction of the impact, you know? Now a lot of that's changed, internet's changing some of that, but that's not a very good and not a very concise answer to your first 30,000 foot question.
Well, it gave me a bunch of places to go. So, there's so many. So first of all, let me jump back into the, where you talked about the, you know, you got one leg hopping in one direction and one in the other, you know, a lot of times I think, and I know for myself, I mean, I'm 43 years old now. No, I'm not.
Me too.
I'm 42. I turned 43 in a couple of weeks. I've been thinking I'm 43 for like almost the whole year. And my wife the other day was like, you're 42. And I was like, really? I just gained a whole another year of life.
Happy early birth.
Oh, thank you. You know, I'm still very, you know, I find myself, I'm trying to teach my teenager how to manage school and how to kind of do all this stuff. And I'm looking at it going, I'm still learning some of these things now. Like I'm teaching him out of what I'm learning and things that I learned last week, you know,
totally.
Like, and I think in a lot of those things, even just about organizing and kind of looking at those like big picture things and what you're really trying to do. And like that big 30-foot question, I think sometimes as creatives, which a lot of worship pastors are, one would think most, sometimes we think that's just the way we work, right? I'm kind of scatterbrained. I'm kind of ADD. I'd go and do this and then I chase this and then I go and I chase this, you know? And if you don't have that intentionality above that, that like kind of higher value of like, I'm going to go ahead and value community. A lot of times we don't see that. How do you convince, or how do you show the way to somebody who's just like, doesn't even really value? Cause I can sit here in my office. I do the same thing. I can sit in my silo and I can sit in my office and I'm like, I can hammer out a great worship set. No problem. I'm really good at that. And I can, you know, I can lead the team. No problem. But it's those bigger things. It's about reaching out to other worship pastors in the area, those things that take work and that we don't often necessarily see the immediate, you know, the kind of the immediate benefit when we're thinking about doing it. We only see it after we experience it. How do you kind of guide people mm-hmm. along that and be like, no, community is incredibly important to you, whether you feel it or not?
By reminding people what ultimately we should be shooting for. So, and I think it's really hazy, like what the bullseye is anymore. Mm-hmm. Like what, how do you even define whether the set list went well or the Sunday went well? How do you define that by metrics that, like you just said, allow you to get immediate feedback? So the room's really engaging and responding. Maybe that's a good metric to consider, but we should also be doing like a year from now, what did that Sunday affect? Mm-hmm. Is any of the stuff that people were feeling in that moment, is any of it still around, you know, or did it all just kind of come and go? Nice moments with Jesus, but no like abiding fruitfulness. Mm-hmm. And my contention is like, if fruit doesn't last, we did it wrong. Mm-hmm. Because I mean, John 15, right? Jesus is like, if you abide in me, you'll bear much fruit and it will be fruit that lasts. And that, I'm 43, as a 43-year-old, the only thing I'm interested in these days is fruit that lasts. Fruit that pops up and then is gone a week later or an hour later or a year later. It didn't last. That is not what Jesus has called us to focus on. He's called us to focus on what he did, which was he gave his life away in such a degree that even after he was gone, the fruit still lasted. Actually, the fruit went all around the world. And I just, you know, we are the first generation in history to say that because someone is musically, you know, gifted, they should be spiritually authoritative. That has never happened in the history of the world, the church, the Bible. It's nowhere. And so that's why we've got to step back and go, wait, what should we be focusing on? And what kind of lives should we be living if we're in front of people leading them in worship? If you're just in front of people leading them in songs, then we don't really need to talk about your life. But if you claim to be leading them in worship, then that makes some claims on your life that we need to talk about. Mm-hmm. And I don't know where else you're going to be pushed to do that. You know, culture's not going to do it. YouTube videos probably aren't going to do it. Like, you're going to need people that know you well enough to speak into what they see, good, bad, right, wrong, and ugly, like all of it. And this is why community is really critical, you know? One thing I've been thinking about lately is, like, worship leaders, have you ever tried to, like, lead men in worship? Or have you ever looked around the room and noticed how many fewer men were engaging and responding than women? We were talking about this in Mirror Worship this past week. Someone brought it up. They were leading for a men's thing, and I can't help but just notice, like, when I'm on stage now, a lot of times I'm not leading a song. I'm playing keys and I'm singing harmony, or I'm playing electric guitar too or something. Mm-hmm. So when I'm not leading it, I'm not nearly as, like, you know, I'm not as in my head. I'm not as focused. I'm able just to play, sing, and just look at the room. Mm-hmm. And I've been doing that a lot the last 18 months, more than any time in my life. Until the last 18 months, I was pretty much always leading when I was on stage. Now I'm doing a lot of supporting, which I really love. But it's definitely changed what I'm seeing. When I'm leading worship, when I'm the one leading, I'm pretty much looking at the people who are with me. Right. I'm looking at the people who are affirming it, and they're giving me energy and making me feel like this is going great. When I'm supporting, I'm looking at the people who aren't. And I'm wondering, like, why are they with us? And I don't think that they're hostile, you know, like, they're not, like, against us, mm-hmm. but they're definitely not just, like, gung-ho for it either. They're somewhere in the middle. And as I've been reflecting on this, I'm playing around with this. I think it'll probably become content that I'm teaching at some point. But, like, I think part of our problem is in worship, we want to get expression from the congregation. We want expression. But part of the problem is we've conflated expression with emotion. Mm-hmm. And we have not associated expression with devotion. So what I mean is, like, the worship leader on stage is really feeling it. You know, they got mm-hmm. their 2 hours before everyone else. They maybe wrote half the songs or something. So they're, like, in it. They are invested and they are deeply emotionally invested in what we're doing. And so they're on stage and they're like going for all their heart. It's pure motives. It's all that stuff. But I just came in after dropping my kids and fighting my wife and whatever else. And emotionally, I'm
I love how like, that's the description everybody always talks about on the way to church. I was fighting my kids, me and my wife arguing in the car. And then we show up and we're like, hey, how's it going?
It's a cliche for a reason, man. Like, so I show up, right? And so I'm not as emotionally connected maybe to what we're doing as the people on stage. Mm-hmm. And here's the problem. There's nothing wrong, obviously, with like being emotionally connected to what you're doing or emotions driving your expression. But I think that there's a huge opportunity for worship leaders to stop leading people out of emotional expression and start doing it out of like devotional expression, where when was the last time you saw a worship leader get up there and go, I'm not really feeling this today, guys, but I'm here and I'm lifting my hands. Pretty much like normally when I see someone lifting their hands or closing their eyes or falling to their knees, I'm like, wow, they're really feeling it. And I look around the room and a ton of people are not feeling it and they're not expressing it either. Mm-hmm. And I'm just saying, like, as I think as faithful, like shepherds of worship, and again, our job is worship pastors, worship leaders lead songs, worship pastors lead people. We don't need any more worship leaders. Like, song leaders aren't doing anything, but worship pastors that are leading people, that's really changing things. And if you're looking around the room and people aren't with you, you're not leading them. Mm-hmm. You're performing for them or whatever, but you're not leading them. And so I think one of the reasons people aren't with us sometimes is because we haven't opened up the door to devotional expression. Mm-hmm. We've pretty much only modeled emotional expression. But, you know, one of the reasons we should lift our hands isn't because we're so feeling it, but because the Bible says to lift our hands, you know, mm-hmm. like Psalm 134:2, lift your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord. Or Psalm 63:4, I quoted it this morning in our prayer time here. I'll praise you as long as I live. In your name, I'll lift my hands. So like to lead people to expression by way of devotion instead of just always model, if you're really feeling it, you'll do what I'm doing on stage. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it totally makes sense. How do you do that? So, you know, because I've always thought about, you know, worship leading as, and part of that, so much of it is driving home, like the songs that we choose, the lyrics that we focus on, the thing, because it's like, you're getting your people to say things that they don't necessarily believe yet. Right. You're actually getting to put words in their mouth, and some of that's repetition. And some of that's like, hey, you know, we don't need to sing the next cool song, we need to keep on this song because this song needs to teach us what it needs to teach us, you know, like those sorts of things. How do you, outside of the songs, how do you model that? How do you work at, like, I understand how that works in my own life. How do I help other people do that?
I think by living it yourself, modeling it, and then consciously shepherding others in it. So take Psalm 95. Like, if I've internalized Psalm 95 personally, and I have done what it says, and it says stuff like, come, let us worship, let's bow down before the Lord, let's kneel before the Lord our Maker, He's our shepherd, we're the flock of His pasture, blah, 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 blah. So if I have taken the time personally to practice that in my office, in my bedroom, in my living room, whatever, then whether or not I'm really feeling that bridge or in that woe section, you know, mm-hmm. or like really loving the set list, then I'll bend down on my knees and kneel down before the Lord in the time of worship, not because I'm really feeling it. It actually is often in spite of how much I'm not feeling it. Mm-hmm. I think this is connected to, but different from what I just talked about with devotion instead of emotion. I think that another thing that we've modeled, which has disconnected a lot of people from our worship that we're trying to lead them in, we have modeled, do it when you've got it. Like when you're overjoyed, jump for joy. And when you are really feeling the holiness of God, then kneel down. Mm-hmm. And when you're really surrendered, lift your hands. But that basically makes the congregation either watch, join, or lie. Mm-hmm. Because lately I really haven't been loving the Lord, and I'm going to sing how much I love the Lord, I'm lying. That's not true. I love you, Lord. No, I don't. Look at my life. My life is obvious that I don't, you know? So I don't want to make people liars, and I don't want them to be watchers. And some people will just watch because they don't want to lie. They're like, I'm not surrendered. I'm not singing that I surrender all. I obviously don't. Mm-hmm. So a lot of songs turn people into liars or watchers. Now, here's I think a huge opportunity for us as worship pastors is to go, look, don't just lift your hands because you're so surrendered. Mm-hmm. It's a great posture of surrender. Lift your hands because you're so not, but you want to be. Mm-hmm. Don't just bow your knees because you're really feeling so humble. Bow your knees because you know you're so, I almost cussed, you're so dang arrogant or egocentric or proud. Mm-hmm. Bow your knees not because you have humility, but because you realize you need humility. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So, and that allows everyone to come in. Now we're doing it as a devotional step instead of an emotional mm-hmm. response. And I think like the emotional response, again, I'm not disparaging it. I'm just saying the emotional response is almost like surplus. I'm giving out of my surplus. The devotional one is like sacrifice. And mm-hmm. surrender. I'm giving at my own cost here. This is not my natural. This is supernatural. So I think that as worship pastors, we just have such an opportunity. We really need to look at if the room is not engaging in worship, we're not doing a good job. Mm-hmm. It's not their problem. It's ours. So we cannot force anything. We can't strive and manipulate. But we can at least be attentive to whether or not people are with us or we're just kind of focusing on the front row. Mm-hmm. Like one of the things I always teach in our worship school is like lead the back row too. If the back row is not with us, then I shouldn't feel great about this. Mm-hmm. Even if the front five rows were, like every guy who's out there with his arms crossed, everyone checking their phone. You don't want to pay attention to those people. It hurts mm-hmm. to see that. And there might be some stuff that you cannot do about that, obviously. There's tons of stuff you can't do. But we can at least be attentive to what's happening in the room, not just what's happening in the front row. Mm-hmm.
Do you think there's a danger there, though, in focusing on physical expression and focus, you know, because I've led worship in many different environments, right? And I think in the kind of modern worship, evangelical world, right? Like that's kind of like our picture of what that is. It's like, oh, it's hands raised. It's knee. It's physical expression. There's been other areas where I'm like, that's not the culture of the place. And so that guy over there that's folding his arms actually really is engaged. It's just in a very different way. He engages his mind and is thinking about all the lyrics instead and like really kind of focusing on that. Like some of the most stoic, I guess would be the word, stoic people that I've known in churches and stuff have been some of the most, some of the most like heartfelt Christians I know, you know, but they don't necessarily express it. So do you think, if we're looking at physical response from people, that's one piece of it, but where else do we look to see like, okay, no, that, yeah, that guy was on his phone because his kid was texting him going, help, I'm stuck at so-and-so, you know, like, mm-hmm. You know, because we can if we put all our idea of like what a success is for a worship leader on everyone's response, is there a trap there for us as well? Because then we're handcuffed to the people who are who we're having to assume who they are.
Yeah, of course that's the case. Two things though. One, don't just look at their expression; look at their entire being. So if someone is ebullient and expressive and joyful every day except Sunday, and then they come in and they're stoic, well, I'd be like, you're not being yourself. This isn't you.
Right.
This is something else. You have bifurcated, like you've got your Sunday self and then you've got your actual self. And I think, you know, Psalm 86:11 is teach me your way, lead me in truth, unite my heart to fear your name. Mm-hmm. Then the next verse is like, I'll praise you with all of my heart. So if someone's natural disposition is stoic, introspective, you know, reserved, then I would expect them to come in and not be bouncing all around the room. That would be bifurcated too. and so I do think that reverence, I think we need to redefine reverence actually, because typically I think we would think reverence is quiet, candles, chamber choir, you know, vaulted arch, whatever, Gothic ceilings, like, and for sure there's something really beautiful about that stuff. But I actually think about it differently. With reverence, think about a wedding ceremony. At a wedding ceremony, when I stand before a couple and they are saying their vows and I'm leading them in their vows, reverence in that room looks like quiet, absolute silent, like rapt attention during the vows. Mm-hmm. That, and it's a very holy, beautiful moment. But I love the next moment after I say, you may kiss the bride. And then I say, and now it's my opportunity for the very first time to introduce you to Mr. and Mrs. So-and-so. Now reverence looks like revelry. Mm-hmm. And it looks like celebration and everyone's cheering and clapping. That's not less reverent. Mm-hmm. It's about what's happening in this moment. So reverence, I think for too long has been associated with reservation. But really, reverence is responding rightly to revelation. Mm-hmm. Like, what is happening before us, responding rightly to that, that's reverence. Mm-hmm. And so there will be times where our reverence before God needs to look like quiet, rapt attention. There will be times where our reverence to what God's doing in a room, though, will look like joyful shouting and all that stuff. And we should bring our whole being into this thing, not just this little sliver of what we've seen on YouTube or what we've grown up with or whatever else. Mm-hmm. So that's the first thing I'd say. The second thing is we should actually look at our life. Again, if Sunday morning, if everyone's engaging and everyone's expressing emotionally, but no one's actually living faithfully or fruitfully, they're not becoming more generous. Mm-hmm. Their marriages aren't becoming more harmonious. Their kids are nightmares. You know, they're greedy. They are selfish. They don't have anyone in their home. They don't practice hospitality. Like, there are some very, very basic characteristics of what, like, a faithful Christian should look like. Mm-hmm. Pretty basic. Like, I think about Galatians 5, you know, like, fruit of the Spirit. 1 Corinthians 13, about, like, what love looks like, which, by the way, nothing to do with emotion in the whole chapter. There are some pretty basic definitions that we should be like growing in. If those things aren't happening over time, then I don't really care how expressive everyone was on Sunday. This was a moment and this was not a movement, and it's definitely not transforming anyone. We should be being transformed. I mean, Paul talks about this in Corinthians, like as we gaze on and we reflect on the glory of the Lord, we are being transformed from glory to glory, ever increasing glory, which comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. Like, if it's real, we're going to be changed over time. Maybe not in a moment, and it might be hard to gauge if you just dissect 1 week to the next. But over months, over years, are we becoming less materialistic? You know, are we becoming more joyful? Are we still strident and angry on social media? are we trying to be at peace with all people? Are we avoiding empty arguments? Like, the Bible's pretty clear on a lot of this stuff. if we are not becoming more like Christ, I don't think we're really worshiping Christ. Mm-hmm. I don't know how you could say that we are.
I think that's a really powerful statement. And it's, and in terms of like, as a worship leader leading our people, like a lot of that comes down to is actually knowing our people, right? It's because what you're talking about is like, 100%. Okay, it's like, oh, I know you in your normal life and you're pretty stoic. So I'm not going to take offense if you're, you know, or think that things are wrong because you're stoic, right. You know, because I actually know you and I know the people, you know, it's interesting. Like, you know, I worship pastor at a small church, and it's very easy. It's very easy to know like what everybody's doing pretty much. You know, you got about 100 people that you're working with, and you're kind of, and you're, and like your staff meeting is like, hey, somebody needs to reach out to so-and-so, you know, they're going through a rough time. Do you know what's going on with so-and-so's marriage? We need to kind of gather around them. You know, like that's half the staff meeting is figuring out who is going to reach out to who. As you scale up, much, much harder, right? Yeah. So I mean, you've done things on a pretty large scale, and I'll close with this because I know that you have to go. But it seems like Mirror Worship in a lot of ways is a ways that you and 10K Fam.
Yeah, 10K Fam.
Yep. Has been finding a way to scale up and create that some of that community and actually help out worship leaders in the moment there are. So they're not in that space where they're, you know, leading out of emotion. So they are striving to see like change, like you're getting to see it on that large level. Maybe you could give me, before we go, just one quick, like, give me a testimonial from one of your worship leaders that you work with.
Yeah. Oh, it's hard to just choose one. goodness me. We were just talking about, Mirror Worship. Yeah. It's an online community of worship leaders from around the world, where we gather around paradigms and practices of great worship pastoring. 10K Fam, 10,000 Fathers and Mothers, that's an 18 months accredited, like master's kind of level coursework where we train worship pastors in character, competency, and their ultimate calling to make disciples. So they are kind of different communities. One of those is $10 a month. One of those is like $9,000, you know. Worship school is
which one's which?
Divinity school. Yeah, 10K Fam is grad school. One of them is seminary. So 10K Fam is seminary. It's grad school. It's divinity school. Mirror Worship is more community just built around a course. But I was just talking with some of the worship leaders that I meet with every week on Zoom in Mirror Worship. And they were in tears just talking about how, I mean, and this is the story of a lot of worship leaders. Their church lost their senior pastor. And so this poor worship leader, you know, she's a volunteer in England, you know, outside of London, England. And she's not been to seminary. She has not got elders supporting her, but the whole weight of the church has fallen on her for a few months. And how she just said, you know, if not for what we're learning in this community and our ability to come and share and process and work out, like, this is going on, what do I do? Like, where else do you go? Like, where else do worship leaders go? Like, you can try to reach out to some other worship leaders in town and hopefully you have good relationships with them, but relationships take time. It's hard when, you know, work is, it just keeps you busy. It's hard. And I get that. And so having the community to fall back on, I think about those guys bringing the paralytic to Jesus. He's on a mat. They bring him Jesus. Jesus heals the guy. Sometimes we're going to be the person carrying others to Jesus. A lot of times on Sundays, that's kind of our role. Mm-hmm. Like, we're just doing everything we can to bring people to Jesus, you know? But there are going to be times when we're the guy on the mat and we need to be carried to Jesus ourselves. Who can help us with that? Mm-hmm. So that's where it's been fun, actually more than fun. It's been profoundly beautiful to see how God can even use group Zoom calls to provide meaningful community to others. And I learn more than anyone in that community. I love hearing, we've got like brilliant men and women from all around the world, like a part of these conversations. And I just know what God's doing in the world is so much bigger than what I'm aware of. And so anything I can do to pull the blinders down and have my purview widened and my preferences challenged, that's ultimately going to be really good for the people that God brings me to lead in worship, because there's a lot more people that are not like me than are mm-hmm. like me. And I want to make sure that as I lead the people God's brought to me, I don't just attract the people who are just like me. Yeah.
Well, what a posture to have, man. And Aaron, I think I really appreciate you coming on, and I wish we had so much more time, because I feel like we could just talk for the next 6 hours and it'd be great. Every moment would be wonderful.
Well, I love what you guys do, man. I mean, I wish every church would just subscribe, like get their whole team connected to this, because the tone that you guys do it with, the excellence you do it with, that's the same kind of stuff that we're trying to facilitate everywhere we go.
Well, you know, I always love it when a guest closes telling us how awesome we are.
I know.
It's
just
my favorite.
Shower us with compliments. We'll take it.
Well, and I do want to shower him with compliments as well. 10K Fam and Mere Worship are both amazing. Mere Worship is just an online community. It's an opportunity for like learning tracks and that sort of thing. 10K Fam is next level. And if you want to check that out, you should check out worship.school, which I love that.
That's such a great URL.
Right? Oh, nailed it. Worship.school. It feels weird when you type it in because you're like .com.
.edu.
Right, no, it's worship.school. And actually so what they do is they gather for intensives and then they have these like online learning tracks that happen afterwards. And they always make sure that when they gather for the intensives, there's three different tracks and they gather everybody in the same one. So essentially like 1, 2, and 3 are all together at the same time. So you really get to be around a lot of other people. And then you go back and you work on your intensive stuff. And there's a lot more there. So starts October 24th. It is an investment, but I do think for the right person, it is well worth the investment.
Yeah. If you're looking for community, if you're not surrounded maybe in an area where there are other worship leaders you can connect with, maybe you're the only worship leader at your church and you're struggling and it's hard for you to get help, I think it's a great way to just connect with people that are, you know, have similar ideas, a similar heart.
Yeah.
And they may be around the world, I don't know, around at least the United States, but you can make connections and I think it'll be really cool.
Well, and it, you know, and like you said, it really pushes you. Like,
yeah,
it's, we all want to grow. We often think that we can just grow on our own. But there is nothing like having trusted people around you that are challenging you and, you know, not only supporting you and telling you how great you are, but also challenging you and pushing you and asking you hard questions. I think the more we get into something, the more we need to find ways to grow because we get so into the tracks that we're in. So 10K Fam really, really does that. And it helps you. You know, we always talk about worship artistry. Like, we want you to play with confidence. That is our job. Like, we want you to be able to play worship music with confidence so that you can engage in all the other really important stuff. And I think with education, it's the same way. Like, to be able to lead with confidence because, I mean, I loved how often he's just dropping scripture to back up what he's saying. And it's not just like, oh, I'm cherry picking these things. It's like very clear. Like sometimes I get in conversations with people and I'm like, I know this is true, but I don't know
where.
I can't lay it out.
I know
it's in there somewhere. Even that just made me go like, man, I just need to like get more in my heart
horse
and start paying more attention to like where I'm finding things. You know, I'm like, yeah, I remember Psalm 5 is killer. I love it. I go back to it often.
It's great.
What does it say?
Yep.
It's something about, you know, things feel kind of unfair, but in the end, God is good.
Amen.
Not near as eloquent. Doesn't quite have the same power to it. And I think, you know, having that confidence to be able to lead and be like, I'm leading out of something. I'm leading with the foundation of something, I think is really valuable. So check out worship.school or check out mereworship.com. Both great things to check out. And like I said, their new track starts October 24th, 2022. And you can get in on that. We think it's an awesome thing. Super glad Aaron could come visit us and tell them Worship Artistry sent you.
Yeah. And while you're at it, go to worshipartistry.com. And if you are not yet a subscriber, you can get a free trial for, what is it, 21 days?
21 days.
A good amount of days to explore over 600 song lessons. And maybe, just maybe, there will be some stuff from 10K Fam.
Yep. Aaron actually wrote an article for us, which we'll be posting as well.
Yeah.
And maybe we'll see you over at Mere Worship too.
Check it out.